Hey everybody, happy 2024!
Whoa!
Woo! I should have brought confetti or something!
Oh,
dang
man, stop
it!
They would turn to icicles.
It's true.
It is so cold in here, but despite it being cold, we are excited to be back in the new year with... Oh, do you know what I just noticed on your paper?
I said 2023.
On the top of your paper, the date says 2023, but it is not. We are excited to be back for another year as we dive into the podcast. If you're new here, this is the Deeper Waters podcast, where we get to talk about some of the things we've discussed on a deeper level at Impact. And just again, our goal is to, you know, walk further in step with the Spirit and with God and what He has for us. And so we're excited that you're tuned in with us. I'm Andrea, joined by Brandon today.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, you just get us today. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a bummer for you. So I apologize. Well, however you're feeling about that.
It'll be better because you're on it, Andrea.
I don't think so. Anyways, this podcast is sponsored by the CCC Cafe. So the first person to go to the cafe and say the word together will get a free small drink. So you can go in there anytime it's open. Let the person know, hey, the word is together, and you'll get that free small drink. Just as we're talking about the cafe, just so you guys know, in the new year, we're changing a little bit up on Sunday nights what the cafe is going to look like. So it will be open, like, full cafe on the first impact of every month. So whatever the first impact is, those are the same weekends that, like, our leaders meet together before impact. So on those Sundays, it'll be open at 5:30, again, full cafe. And then on those other weeks, the rest of the month, we'll just have kind of our snack shop for those of you guys who have been here in past years that open in the cafe still as well. But we'll have, you know, candy and the pop cooler drinks available in the cafe, but it will not be a full cafe for the rest of those Sunday nights. Again, reminder, podcast is uploaded every Wednesday afternoon. We're getting back into a rhythm, so we hope that you guys tune in either on Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you like to watch on YouTube, you can check us out there as well. Now, a couple more announcements that we have for you guys. If you're listening to this today on the day it comes out, tonight we have hangouts after Awana from 6 or 8 to 9-ish, and we'll be playing some board games, so come hang out. Do you have a favorite board game you like to play?
I really
that you're
like,
going to be bringing?
I'll probably bring Settlers of Catan.
I was going to guess that.
I just played it as a kid. That's a game I played growing up, so it's hard for me not to like it.
Yeah.
But
I'm undefeated in that game. Did you know that?
Have you played it one time?
Yep.
Well, you should come and defend your title.
I don't know. Maybe a one and done.
Actually, Heidi and I tonight are going on a date, and part of our date is going to find a new board game. So,
ooh, that's
fun. If
you guys
have some recommendations, let us know.
I love that. That's fun. Yeah. Okay, so board games. And then, just so you guys know, the following Wednesday, the 24th, there is no hangouts. Brandon and I will be coming back from an Alliance Youth Conference, which we're really excited about. So we will not be here for hangouts that week. And then, finally, winter camp is coming. We are so excited.
So excited.
It's going to be an awesome weekend. Filled with, incredible worship. The worship team is working on pulling that together. Joe is working on his messages, which we're really excited about. This theme this year is pursue, and we're really talking about, like, what does it look like, you know, to be wholeheartedly in pursuit of God, like, looking to have, again, like, this podcast is about a deeper life with Jesus, you know, and so so we're really excited to hear what Joe comes up with and how the Spirit is leading him and how we can have a life where we're pursuing God. So we're really excited.
I was actually hanging out with some freshman guys.
Yeah.
And we were talking winter camp. He goes, yeah, they all said we have to come back. We got to broom ball title to defend.
You're
competitive
they're
in any
excited.
Way
we'll have broom ball. There's actually, like, we got some snow, so tubing, like, could happen. Like, I was a little nervous, but there will be a lot of fun whether you like being outside in the cold or you like sitting by the fire and not going outside. Like, it's a weekend for you. There's plenty of fun. So we're super excited. And again, the registration is open for that. You can find that in the link of our bio on Instagram. You can find it on our website. Really, wherever we post stuff, you can probably find that link to register. And another thing we want to make sure you guys know is that if cost is an issue, don't let it be. Like, we want you at camp, whatever that means. We have scholarships available. So reach out to one of us if you are in need of a scholarship, because we don't want that to get in the way of you being able to come to camp. It's an awesome weekend. Transformation happens, and so we really hope that you're able to join us for that. Now, Brandon, what song are we listening to this week?
This week, we are listening to Great Are You, Lord, by All Sons and Daughters, and I think it's a great song it simply just praises the Lord for who he is. That's nothing, it doesn't do any complexity to it. This is what we're here to do. You are great, and we're going to pour out our praise. And that's simply what it is, and that's kind of what we're heading into for the high school message this week, talking about how a community, we love God and we honor him. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great song this week to be listening to, get your heart prepared for the message this weekend. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Sweet. Well, as we dive into our conversation today, as always, we have a kind of fun and unrelated to the message, but related to this time of year question. Is January the worst?
It might be. I was filling up my car with gas this morning.
Oh,
I was because I go to Costco to fill up my car, but the problem with that is the way my car is and the way the pump is, I have to hold the pump up just a little bit so I can, like, it doesn't turn off.
Dude, it's not worth going to Costco for it.
It's a little cheaper. That made me question whether or not, but here's the problem. I really like sports. And like ACC basketball, conference basketball for college just started.
Yep.
And that's so much fun to watch.
Yep.
And the Lions are actually doing well.
Yeah, so this January it's like, not the worst.
It's not.
But other Januaries might be, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
there's that time, like end of like it helps that college basketball season's going on to help me get through it, because March can be a rough time.
Yeah.
A month, so that's kind of up there.
Yeah.
Because it's like, especially up here in the north, it doesn't know whether or not it wants to be winter.
Yeah.
I think a retro game night last year, and it was like driving through snow still on the way back home.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I wasn't here.
Yeah,
you were somewhere warmer, I think.
I think you were probably in, were you in Florida?
No, I wasn't in, I think I was maybe at my parents in Virginia, maybe. That feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. But see, my letter board at home, I have that I try and change out every month. And this month it says there's a point of winter when it goes from magical and to miserable. And that's called January. January is not my fave. We could say that, but yeah, it does help, like, that I have a conference that our kids' team goes to every year down in Florida. So, like, that makes January a little better. Like, there are some fun things, but if we're talking from a, like, being in Minnesota winter perspective, yeah, it's pretty much the worst.
I do like the snow, so I'm glad the snow's here for January.
If it's going to be this cold, like, I want... Yeah. Like, yeah, I want snow to be a thing, because otherwise it's just ugly and cold versus being pretty and cold. So
I'd be white and cold with the snow.
For sure.
I just got a new snow shovel.
Whoa.
And it is awesome. I'll let you know. It is sweet.
That's awesome. I love that. All right. Well, now we're going to shift gears and talk a little bit more about the message. So kind of looking at this question, what is biblical community? And that's what Brandon talked about in his message last night. And as the in the coming weeks, we'll be digging more into that on Sunday nights. But to start us off, can you give us an example, Brandon, of biblical community?
Yeah, so this is actually a lot of my college classes were talking about how to build community, whether it was in the outdoors, in the church setting, whatever it is. But then I got to practice that pretty much every summer working at a camp and end up being a leader amongst the seasonal staff of helping facilitate and create community. Yeah. So a lot of great experiences. And then throughout all my summers working at this camp, there was a few summers that stood out about community, and one in particular amongst the college age staff. We really hit on, like, we read together, we prayed together, and we sang together, and we played together, we forgave each other easily.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that was when I saw growth within myself. It was because those things were happening all around me, and everybody was intentional about engaging in this community in those ways. So that's kind of my biggest example of biblical community. I know, like, within the camp setting, if you've never been to camp before or worked at a camp or summer camp or whatever, it might be a little bit hard to understand, but it's kind of like a really intense 2 weeks together of like team building, growing, training, getting ready for the summer. And so the rest of the summer, like, it is like a really familial type of group that's together. So
for sure. I think one that I think of that's kind of unique, and I'm so grateful for it so often, because I know it's not something that everybody has. And like, I think about my team at work, you know, like, we're blessed to work at a church where, again, it doesn't mean like our staff is perfect and we don't like and everything is perfect like all the time. Like, that is not what it means, but it does mean like we get to work and like we've created this sense of biblical community within our co-working circles. You know, I think about specifically like the Kids City team. Like, a lot of us have been around for a number of years, and so like we have walked through like marriages together, new kids being born, like we've prayed through really hard things, like got to be there for each other through really like exciting life moments and really hard life moments. And so that's something that, again, like, I get, like, not everybody has that in like the people that they work with, but I'm so grateful that, again, I get to come to work and be in a space where if I'm having a really hard day, like, I can share that, like, we can pray together. And that's a spot that I've found really incredible biblical community that I'm super, super appreciative of. So that's,
A lot of meetings. Like, so how our meetings work, the Kid City team will meet and then the student team will meet afterwards.
Yeah.
And so I get to, as really the only sole student team member,
currently,
I walk in and they're laughing or talking or praying, talking about something serious. And it's not that we don't have a good, like, we have a good relationship, but it's very evident of the closeness of that group. And it really, it is cool. Like,
And it's been built over time, like, you know, which is a really cool thing of like, and I think it's a good reminder to all of us of like, if you are desiring biblical community and you walk into your life group and you're like, yeah, this ain't it. Like, it takes time to grow that. You know, I think about some of our older life groups, you know, and see how they've grown together over the years. Like, the sixth grade groups don't have that same sense as, you know, the senior groups. It takes time to build that trust and that level of vulnerability with one another. And so, like, I want to encourage you that, like, in that of, like, if you feel like your life group is not that place, like, you know, what can you do to create, like, to help facilitate that in that space? But also, like, as, you know, for you juniors and seniors, as you look to head off to college, if you, like, you have to, one, be intentional about it, and two, be willing to put in the time and the effort in order to create that biblical community. Because, like I said, it doesn't happen in an instant. Like, it's something that grows over time, which, again, it's hard sometimes and it can be lonely at times. But in the end, when you have these communities that are created, it's so worth the investment of time and energy.
One of the biggest things I'll tell seniors who are going off to college is, like, be involved.
Mm-hmm.
That is, like, whether it's a club tennis match or mm-hmm. club whatever basketball, like intramural basketball, whatever's mm-hmm. happening, like just go, just be there, and invest into where you are, like find some mm-hmm. friends to go with, and like you'll begin to start that community. But that's a hard thing. I don't want you guys to hear me say that, be like, oh yeah, that's easy for you to say, Mr. Extrovert, mm-hmm. like, because that was me in college.
I'm not an extrovert, and like it took energy and effort for sure to be like, okay, I'm gonna say yes to this. Like, I'm gonna talk to new people. Okay.
I was the person like, we're going to do this thing. This is awesome. So we're gonna watch the basketball team get smoked. That's sweet.
So regardless of your personality, like, it is hard. Like, but again, like, also regardless of your personality, like, it's worth the investment mm-hmm. for sure. So what does it look like then for the individual, like for us as individuals, to engage in biblical community?
Well, I think that's kind of what we just alluded mm-hmm. to, is the first thing is, like, you have to take the steps to be present and available.
Yeah.
Like, that's step number one. If you're not willing to take that step to be mm-hmm. present and available, then good luck.
Yeah.
I hope you make it and find that community, but you have to be willing to mm-hmm. say yes to things that maybe when you don't want to, you gotta be willing to make yourself available to people really when you don't want to. And being open like that and kind of taking those vulnerable steps are really scary. Mm-hmm. But I think that kind of risk and the reward here, it's a little bit of a safer risk if we look in the grand scheme of things, and it has a great reward.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to, that's the biggest encouragement. And the second thing though, you got to have a lot of grace.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have grace, because in the church, especially with the expectation that we are going to be loving each other like Jesus did, oftentimes that expectation is not met. Mm-hmm. And we are all still sinners. We all still fail. We all still say things and do things that we don't mean to, mm-hmm. that are hurtful. And if you have walk in with the being available and wanting to provide grace wherever you go, that you'll find that community. You'll find people.
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest disservice we can do to ourselves in regards to biblical community is expect, not that he can't, but expect that God will open all the doors and make it incredibly easy, like, and just, like, hand it to us on a silver platter. Can he? Absolutely. Yeah. Like, and it's happened. Yes, for sure. But if we walk in with that expectation of, like, oh, I don't need to do anything, I don't need to put forth any effort, like, God will provide this for me, like, he can, and he will in ways, but it doesn't mean it's going to be, like, all obstacles removed. Like, there is still the effort that we have to put forth in order to do that. And the other thing, like, you mentioned, you know, again, being willing to put ourselves out there. Like, I think a lot of times it's, like, to shift, especially as you're meeting new people, to shift from, like, kind of a surfacey to a deep biblical community, like, somebody has to share something vulnerable first.
Yeah.
Like, somebody has to be that first one. And so if that's something that, like, you want to see and, like, you want to have, like, as scary as it may be, like, the other people in that community might just be waiting for somebody else, because they're, you know, like, not to say you wouldn't be scared about it, but, like, be willing to go first in opening up the door to vulnerability. because again, like somebody has to do it. And so if you can open that door, like in my experience, I've seen like once somebody opens that and like walks down that path of like being vulnerable, like going into depth, like very rarely do I see things return to the shallow. Like it only gets deeper from there. But again, somebody has to be willing to jump in first.
Even when new people come and join in, they're kind of like, oh, this is what we're about. Like this is a space where I can be open. I can be honest about how I'm doing and be honest where the areas I need to grow.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. When someone can walk into a space, be like, oh, these people are real about what they're talking about. They're real about Jesus. They're real about loving others and loving each other and being honest about like where they're struggling. That I think to me, that's one of the biggest, that can be one of the biggest catalysts to someone following Jesus.
For sure. Yeah. Again, like I think like more and more so like generations are desiring such real authenticity. And so no longer do people want to step into a group or step into a community and like it be surface level. Like you guys know this, like, because that's you, like, and we hear it from you guys. We experience it ourselves too, of like, when we walk in, we want it to be authentic. We want it to be real. And again, it takes those hard steps of being willing to open the door into that. But again, like you said earlier, the risk, like it may be scary, but the reward far outweighs, outweighs that. And another thing like too, just like as we're talking about this idea, I think it's okay to like, to try out different things. And like, if you feel like that, I'm trying this out. Like you've put in time and energy to it. Like not just like, I showed up one time and I'm not feeling it. Like that's not energy and effort. But if you do put in that energy and effort and you're like, you know, I still feel like I'm not connecting. I still feel like, you know, either I'm being vulnerable, but other people aren't, like, it's okay to try something different.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay, like, if the first group of people, like, I experienced this even in my friends, like, as I went to college, like, the first group of people that I hung out with, like, it wasn't that community that I was looking for. And so, like, was it hard and discouraging at first? Yeah. But I continued to try and pursue and find that community elsewhere. So don't be discouraged or feel like, oh, something's wrong with me because the first group I tried wasn't my fit.
Yeah, the, Daryl even talked about that during the Remember series.
Yeah.
Like encouraging, it was the adults to try out life groups and stuff, like their own life groups. And he's like, if you have a group of friends and you're not, like, it's okay. It might take like 2, 3, 4, 5 even maybe times to find your community. And like, I think is like what you said, as long as there's like a true effort, there's a great, like a really good work to try and engage, and like the Spirit will let you know, like, hey, no, I got something better for you. Yeah. So, yeah,
for sure. Well, as we close out, any final thoughts on this idea of what is biblical community?
Biblical community can come from people you may not expect. It won't always be the people that you think you're going to be able to connect to. I think I have two examples. One is biblical. If you look at the disciples, like just they had a tax collector and fishermen. They butted heads in that society probably more so than almost as much as fishermen and the Romans did, like or zealots did.
Yeah.
So it's there were so many just personalities within those 12 that just you in society they would butt heads and all the time, but they were the foundation of the church. The first, not the first, but like biblical community as we know it on the new covenant that we have, and that is beautiful. Taking all those different walks of life and bringing them together, and only Jesus could do that.
Absolutely.
And the second is my mentor in college. Love the guy. He was a pastor of the church I was going to, and he actually good friends with my dad. And I thought, yeah, he's great. He is really smart, but like what we're into is different. Like, you know, like really the only thing we had in common was that we were Christians and we both like Star Wars and that's about it. Everything else, like, he didn't care at all about sports. And like, if you were to look at my screen time, it's like most of it's either ESPN or Bleacher Report.
Yes.
And so, so yeah, but God really was like pushing me, like, no, he needs to be your mentor. And I, that is one of the, for my walk in Jesus, that was the best relationships I've ever had. So,
Again, I think we have to just remember in community, like you said, like, we don't need a community of people who are exactly identical to us. Like, you know, there is a beautiful picture of, like, what the kingdom will be as we engage in biblical community with people who are very different from us. And so that's a really, great reminder about, like, you never know, like, who your circle could include. And so give it an effort. Try, again, put forth that time and that energy, because that's going to be what makes it grow. So as you think about biblical community in your own life, what is your next step, Brandon?
So I am in a new life group. And I think the biggest next step is, like, we were meeting consistently before the holidays. And after, we just had our first meeting of the new year last night. And it was great. But I think really the next step in that is to really, like, really push that some more. Get our group to really dive into and put our feet into the ground and root it into what our traditions will be, what we'll be doing consistently, and kind of that. So, I think that's kind of the next step.
Awesome. I think for me, with a young adult group that I help lead and I'm a part of, like, we, this next year, you know, we've been trying to figure out what are we starting after the new year? Like, what are we going to dig into next? And the topic that we picked is hopefully going to bring depth of conversation. And so I'm really excited to see where that goes and to lean in and push into that. And so for me, again, it's just being willing to go first, like I said, of you know, having a willingness of depth of conversation. And not that we haven't had that before, but again, it's taking it a little bit deeper. And so I'm excited to see what comes of that. So that will be really good. Again, we want to say thanks for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate you guys. We hope that this is helpful, that this is encouraging, that this challenges you, to walk into deeper waters, as scary as it may be. As always, if you have questions about anything we either talked about or something completely different, we'd love to have a conversation with you guys. We love you. We care about you. And with all that being said, we say to you, go and be more like Jesus.
Boom. That was awesome.